Thanks for checking out this sermon from the Orchard Starkville. We are a community of people located in Starkville, Mississippi, who are committed to growing deep in the love of Jesus and branching out to others with that love. For service times and location and more info about the Orchard, check out our website at orchardstarkville.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the Orchard. My name is Tyler Dossett, and if this is your first time here, this is also my first time here this morning. I usually spend most of my time over at Orchard Fulton, but it's such a blessing to be here with y'all this morning. The text that we're going to be reading from this morning is Joshua chapter 24. We're going to be reading verses 14 through 28. So if you have Bible with you, I encourage you to turn there. We are starting a new sermon series called The Restorers, where we're looking at the Old Testament characters. And there's this common theme as we read through Scripture that our God is a God of restoration. And it happens time and time again where God's people stray, but God restores them back to himself. We're going to be in Joshua 24. We're reading verses 14 through 28. This is what the text says. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God. Then Joshua warned the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy and jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you abandon the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn against you and destroy you, even though he has been so good to you. But the people answered Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. You are a witness to your own decision, Joshua said. You have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, they replied, we are witnesses to what we have said. All right then, Joshua said, destroy the idols among you and turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God. We will obey him alone. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day at Shechem, committing them to follow the decrees and regulations of the Lord. Joshua recorded these things in the book of God's instructions. And as a reminder of their agreement, he took a huge stone and rolled it beneath the terebinth tree beside the tabernacle of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, this stone has heard everything the Lord said to us, and it will be a witness to testify against you if you go back on your word to God. Then Joshua sent all the people away to their own homelands. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask now by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would give me the words, because without you, without your spirit, what I say is nothing. And as we gather around your word, God, we ask that you would open our eyes to the marvelous truths found within your word. That your word wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other so that we leave here unchanged, but that your word would make its way in down to our hearts into fertile ground so that it may spring up and bear fruit in our lives. So that when we leave here and when people see us, they don't necessarily see us, but they see Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said earlier, my name is Tyler Dossett, and I spend a lot of my time in Fulton, Mississippi. Has anyone ever been to Fulton, Mississippi? A couple people? So I'm married. My wife, Ashley, and we have two little boys. We have Judah here at the bottom. He's 5, and we have Noah, who is about 17 months old. Those are my three favorite people in the world. And I'll show you a picture just so you can know me a little bit. And I also reference them a lot in my sermons. I just can't help it. So that's my family. And well, a couple years ago in 2022, 2023, me and my wife, Ashley, would take evening walks down our neighborhood. me and Judah. Noah wasn't born just yet. We would take evening walks and we would go by this house. And on the front porch of this house, we would see this dog. And this dog was filthy. Filthy. And every time it saw us, it would run off. Didn't want anything to do with us. But despite its filth and despite how scared it was of us, one of the things that me and Ashley saw right off the bat was how beautiful this dog was. It was one of the most beautiful dogs we had ever seen. And so time goes on, and then Ash, the neighbor, reaches out to someone that knows my wife and says, "Hey, would y'all be interested in adopting this dog?" Ashley asked me, and I said, "Absolutely. We would love to adopt this dog." And this is a picture of what this dog looks like. He's beautiful. But we knew it was going to be tough because we know it was terrified of people. The previous owner warned us of this. It was filthy. So I go to the house. It's running from me. But eventually, I got close enough to where I petted the dog, put a collar on it, brought it home, gave it a bath, got filthy in the process. But then we invited the dog into our home with Judah, and it was amazing. This dog is now part of the family. And then he spent the night. That morning, I go to work, and I let the dog back outside. I go to work, and I come back that afternoon. The dog's gone. Where is it? Then I think, I think I have an idea. I drive down to the neighbor's house, and there the dog is on the front porch, covered in filth, because it ran back to his mud hole, ran back to his previous owner. And we can kind of understand that, right? I mean, that's where the dog was raised. That's where it spent most of his life. But I think we can relate and we can kind of understand it because we do the same thing. God offers us this new life. He comes to us asking us to give us these things that we can't even imagine, things too good to be true. So we go and we may experience it for a moment. But the moment something uncomfortable happens, the moment the waiting happens, we run back to our mud holes. We run back to the places that we don't belong. Because despite all that we did for this dog yesterday, all this that we did today, it has gone back to the places, going back to the place that it's unwanted, and it relates to us. And this is not only our story. It's not just my story, it's our story, and this isn't something new. This is something that has been happening over and over and over again, all the way back to the Israelites in Joshua chapter 24. So Joshua is the leader of the nation of Israel. And Joshua 24, these are his last words that he's saying to the Israelites. And if you're unfamiliar who Joshua is, he led the nation of Israel and they are in the promised land. And Joshua is about to die. And this is the final thing that Joshua says to the nation of Israel before he passes. And if you look at the very first word in verse 14, it says, "So." So. So what is all said before so? Well, if you go back and look at verses 1 through 13, what Joshua is telling the nation of Israel, he is reminding the nation of Israel of all the things God has done for them. All the things. There are 23 actions associated with God in those 13 verses. I ChatGPT'd it. I didn't count it. But 23 actions compared to 4 of the Israelites. The 4 of the Israelites is they cried out, they lived, they fought, and they crossed. What Joshua is laying out in the first 13 verses is this is all that God's done for you. God has been faithful to you, and he has led you to the place where you are, where you now are, into the promised land, into the place that you have been dreaming of. And so we get to verse 14. "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly." Sure, right? That's what they should do. God's done all this stuff, so fear the Lord. That's understood. But then we get to this alarming sentence right after that. Still in verse 14, put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped. Hang on. They still had idols? They still had idols? Joshua wouldn't have told them to put away the idols if they didn't have them, if they didn't still have them. While God was being faithful, they were still worshiping other gods. And it's not because they didn't know. This was 40 to 50 years after Moses had given the nation of Israel the Ten Commandments. First one being, you shall have no other idols besides me. They have been worshiping other idols all the while God has faithfully been providing for them. I mean, sometimes we open the scripture up and we look at the New Testament and the Old Testament and we think the New Testament God revealed in Jesus is different than the one of the Old Testament. But if we're honest with ourselves, if we look, the same grace, the same kindness is being extended here. See, this confronts the lie that God's love is contingent on our obedience. You see, God loves us. God is always trying to give us good things. He is always trying to extend grace and love and trying to give us the life that he desperately wants us to live. But while his love is unchanging, what is constantly changing is our ability to receive it. And we receive it by faith, by trusting him. You see, I chose Tate, a dog. And despite the life that I wanted for him, he was unable to receive it if he didn't trust me. If he kept running away from me, as bad as I want to give it to him, I can't. Switching it to my children, whenever my children disobey me, does my love change for them? You probably don't know me, but no, it doesn't. You see, whenever Judah, my five-year-old, I have a one-year-old, he doesn't really know what obey means, but my five-year-old Judah, when he disobeys me, it does not change my love for him at all. All it does, if it shows anybody's love, it shows more about his love for me. God's love is not contingent on our obedience, but our ability to receive his love and experience his love. That's what changes. And again, we receive it by faith. And we see God here still trying to extend that grace, trying to give them a new chance, trying to restore them back to himself despite them worshiping idols. And he's doing that through Joshua. And he says, serve the Lord alone. This is Joshua to the Israelites. Serve the Lord alone, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Choose today whom you will serve. You see, Joshua doesn't ask the Israelites who they served yesterday. He doesn't ask the Israelites who they served last week. He doesn't ask the Israelites who they served 40 years ago at VBS at Mount Sinai when they prayed with a man named Moses and gave their life to Jesus, gave their life to God. He doesn't ask us who did we serve yesterday or who did we serve as a child, but who will we serve today? Will we serve him or will we serve the idols that we are so prone to cling to? And you may say, well, there's not really idols today. There's not like shrines that we make sacrifices and kill animals and we don't do it. And you're right. But they're still idols. They're just a lot more subtle. And as I was wrestling with this text and trying to share the idols that we have this temptation to bow down to each and every day, there's four that came to mind. They all start, and I connected them with household items, and they all start with the letter W to make it easy to remember. The first idol that we serve is the wallet. We idolize money. We wake up and the first thing we look to is our bank accounts. We look at the stocks. We look at all the gain. We look at how much money we have, and we attach our worth, our life, our joy, our security to how much money we have in our wallets or our bank accounts. Second, we idolize, I'm gonna get them in order, the watch. We idolize our time. Time is the one thing that we can't get more of. So we want to use our time in the most efficient way possible. And if it's not efficient, we're going to do away with it. The wine glass. We idolize our appetite. We idolize what we feel like doing. We idolize entertainment, our emotions. And if something doesn't make us feel good, if a person doesn't make us feel good, if a place doesn't make us feel good, no. We are led by our appetite. And the last one is the wardrobe. We idolize our own self-image. We idolize what people think of us, what we look like. And friends, whatever idol that you serve, whatever idol that you bow down to, you are making sacrifices to them. To it. The wallet, you are sacrificing relationships. You are sacrificing your own family. To the watch, what you are sacrificing is your own rest and your own peace. To the wine glass, you are sacrificing true lasting joy for this temporary lightning that you find in a bottle or whatever entertainment that you have, whatever entertainment that you choose. And for the wardrobe, when we're so focused on what's on the outside, what we sacrifice is what's on the inside. Who will we serve today? So as I was preparing for this sermon, I was originally preparing it for next Sunday at Orchard Fulton. And there is this quote that I really wanted to use that I had never used at Orchard Fulton. And it is from Chris Prather, Orchard Starkville. So y'all probably know this story, but at Orchard Fulton, they do not. So Chris shared with us this all staff a couple years ago, the story of him and his mentor. And again, y'all probably know this story, so y'all can correct me or tell me I'm wrong and how I'm sharing it. But anyway, he was talking to his mentor, and he asked him, hey, when did you give your life to Christ? And the mentor responded, he goes, oh, about 8 hours ago. He's like, Chris, like, how funny. No, like, when did you surrender? When did you decide to give your life and follow him? And he goes, no, I understand. He goes, this is what you need to know. Yesterday's surrender of my life is insufficient for today's growth. I want my surrender to be as fresh as God's mercies are new every morning. Joshua ask the Israelites, who are you going to serve today? It echoes through the generations to us here in Orchard Starkville. Who are you going to serve today? Joshua leads the way. He says, as for me and my family, this is at the end of verse 15, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. But what is our response? What do we say? Who will we serve today? Then the people go on. The Israelites respond, and they say, we would never abandon the Lord. We would never, never abandon the Lord. They meet this question with denial. And then what they do on verses 16 through between 16 and 18, what they do is they recount all the things that God has done for them. They know exactly who has brought them where they are. They know all the things God has done for them. But yet they still had other idols. You see, what this confronts is whenever we think about being a follower of Christ, we sometimes think it's about knowing about God. We know about Jesus. We know all the things that he's done for us. But friends, do you know knowledge, what knowledge that doesn't produce obedience leads us to? You know what that is? Knowledge without obedience? That's foolishness. Being a fool knows better, but doesn't do. But knowledge that produces obedience, that's wisdom. The Israelites knew, but didn't do. And the question is, do we know, but don't do? So what connects knowledge and obedience? How do we become a people that know God and obey Him? Well, it stems from faith. I keep going back to that word, faith. Because you can know all the information you want, but if you don't trust the source, you're not going to listen to it, right? For example, if I were to say, hey, do y'all trust me? You're like, yeah, I never met you before. You're some random guy that comes on Sunday morning, and yeah, I trust you. I was like, okay, come up here, stand on this stage, turn around and fall backwards and trust that I'm going to catch you. I mean, you can say you trust me and you have faith in me, but whether or not you actually fall backwards is going to reveal how much faith that you have. Do we trust the source? Do we have faith? The Israelites said that they would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. And as I read that scripture, and I've read this a couple times, but I've never made this connection. Do y'all know who also said that they would never abandon their Lord? Peter. Peter in the garden with Jesus. Jesus tells all his disciples that they're going to abandon him. And Peter says, I would never abandon you. Well, here, the Israelites say three different times that they are going to serve the God, serve their God alone. Do y'all know how many times Peter rejected Christ? Three times. Three times. Then Joshua, after the Israelites denied, said they would never abandon the Lord. Joshua says in verse 19, you are not able to serve the Lord. He knows the Israelites' hearts. He knows what's going to happen. But they are persistent. They say, no, we're going to serve the Lord. We will. And Joshua says, okay. All right. Well, then put away forever the idols. Turn your hearts to God and serve Him wholeheartedly. And then we are told, he takes this huge stone and rolls it beneath this tree. And then he tells them, the stone has heard everything the Lord said to us. It'll be a witness to testify against you if you go back on your word. So the Israelites have doubled down like, we're going to serve the Lord. And so the question is, do they? Well, if you turn the page, turn your Bibles one page over. You don't have to if you don't want to. But and if you look at Judges 2, verse 10. Judges 2, verse 10. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Despite all that God had done for them, despite for their certainty that they would not abandon the Lord, they still do. Peter rejects the Lord. And we may look back at the Israelites and say, how foolish could you be? How foolish? I mean, they had seen all that God had done for them. How faithful. They knew it. We look at Peter. Peter saw Jesus and saw all the miracles. How could he abandon him? But if the Israelites and Peter, probably they are looking at us now and thinking, how foolish could we be? Because friends, we have the whole story. We live in a time where we have access to more information, to more knowledge than any time before us. We know all that God has done for us. Yet time and time again, we wake up and bow down to the idols of our world. But the question is, what does God do? Despite the Israelites, despite Peter, despite us, how does God respond to our unfaithfulness? Does he forsake us? Is he unfaithful to us? You see, whenever Tate would run back to his mud holes, he would run back to the other house. The worst part wasn't the fact that he went back. The worst part was the fact that he still would not come to me. Despite all that he knew, how he knew he could trust me, or I thought he could. Despite him coming to our house, feeding him, he kept running from me. But do you know what? I always called him. I kept chasing him until eventually he gave in. And every time I would take him, filthy, nasty self, I would wash him and I would get filthy. And friends, Jesus does the same thing for us. God the Father sends Jesus to us in our mud holes, into the places that we have run to, calling us back home. Asking us to let him take on our filth. You see, the stone that was a witness, the tree that was a reminder, the tree is the cross. The stone is the tomb. And what we see whenever we see the cross of Jesus, we are reminded of our unfaithfulness. But God didn't destroy us like we deserved. He destroyed his own son. And he takes on our filth. Friends, Jesus is coming to us, calling us to trust him. That what he has done is enough. The Father's judgment fell upon him. And so the question for us all is that will you trust Jesus for the first time and experience the love found in our Heavenly Father? Or maybe it's the next time. Will you heed to your Father's voice? Will you trust Jesus and let him wash you so you can live in the family of God and experience a life you couldn't even dream of? Let's pray together. Father, you are so good to us. You pursue us. Your love in Jesus chases us down, God. And so what our prayer is this morning is that you would soften our hearts. That you would help us experience your love in new, fresh ways, God, and help us find surrender. And let's lay down our arms and quit running, God, and let you do with us what you so desperately desire to do. God, if anyone is questioning, then I pray, God, that you would help us trust in you. Help us have faith and lay down and surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if you would like to pray with anyone, I'll be over here, and I think there'll be prayer. No, okay. If you would like to pray with anyone, I'll be over here. Love to pray with you, but this is a time to respond. And we respond in the way God is leading you to respond. If you want to sit and pray, by all means sit and pray. If you want to stand and sing, stand and sing. However God is leading you to respond, please respond in that way.